TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken
record. Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 128, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, Marcia from Encino.
I'm Tom from Glendale.
Susie from Sherman Oaks.
Peter from West Hollywood.
All right, so this week I have the news, and I'd like to give the new show report card. So starting on Monday, Revolution, and the big news is that they got 11.5 million viewers on NBC, which NBC is raving about.
Yeah, they were against reruns.
I was going to get to that, jumping on my lines. And the big deal is, yes, this the reason that a lot of shows, well, not a lot of shows, some of the shows premiered this week instead of next week is so people would sample them before all the other shows return. So next week, it's not going to get 11 million. One, a pilot always gets a higher rating than the rest of the show anyway. But next week, you're going to have all the big dogs, I guess you'd say, up against them. So we'll see what the ratings are like then. But that's still promising. The next was Go On, got 9 million on NBC, which was really good too. And they're going to be going up against some other shows. Probably not as big shows. But the scary thing for NBC should be that The New Normal only got 6 million. But and that means even next week it's going to go even further down, so that's not good. However, I think the scariest news, the show that I think is already probably on the cancellation block, is Mob Doctor, which was on Fox.
I actually watched it last night.
Why?
Because it was on and I was working in my hotel room.
Now by admitting that, you're going to have to talk about it. Wait till we go. So now it's on the schedule. You're going to have to tell us whether it's good or bad. See, you shouldn't have admitted to that. And Mob Doctor's going to be on Monday, so that'll yeah. I'll put that in right there. Thank you for adding a new show for us. But the ratings for Mob Doctor was only 5 million.
Ooh.
And 5 million is actually already on the line for whether or not Fox renews you or cancels you, and that's their pilot, which is means that it's higher than normal, and it's up against repeats. So that means that next week, when the second episode airs, the ratings are going to be in the tank. That show's gone. It's gone. Oh, so man.
And yet nothing beats the Lone Star episode, a show for being canceled as soon as the episode finished airing in California. They announced they were canceling it.
No, but that was the second episode.
Yeah, it went two episodes.
It went two episodes, but they canceled it after the first.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, Lone Star, Skins, South of Sunset.
Two episodes and
out. No, actually, South of Sunset got canceled after one airing. It was a 2-hour movie.
Oh, okay.
but it got canceled because the ratings were over.
Yeah.
Glenn Frey as an actor, seriously.
Yeah. Well, the point is, whoever picked Mob Doctor in their playing at home sweepstakes for our podcast may have won, because that's going to be gone.
You win no prize.
Yeah, you win no prize, but you have guessed correctly. All right, and the other piece of news I have is that Army Wives has been renewed for the 7th season. And please, people who are out there, let me know, is this some brilliant show that I should be watching? Like,
it's solid. I mean, it's a great Lifetime show. It's kind of interesting to see Catherine Bell from JAG go from playing a Marine Corps colonel to an Army wife. It's well produced. It's, you know, well written. But so, it's their signature show.
So you didn't answer the question. Is it a good show? Would I enjoy the show?
It's no Rizzoli and Isles. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not must. I watched several of the first season, and then it's like it's easy to okay. I got life stuff to do. But all I'm right. Not the target audience for Lifetime.
Yes, technically I am, but that doesn't mean that I. When you tell me Lifetime movies, I made a face. So for all the people listening at home, there was a face going on.
I have a little bit of news, which right. You may keep or may cut out. The Browncoats, of course, are going gagas over this for Castle. There's going to be an episode where they're going to be doing a spoof on a television actor who it was in a sci-fi TV show that got canceled early, but who is a drunk and has all kinds of problems.
And who have they cast?
They're casting. They're now looking.
Oh. You gotta cast somebody from Firefly. You really
Who's
do.
Who's left, though?
Well, that's the thing. There's no... They're gonna be looking
Adam for... Adam Baldwin would have been perfect.
No, they're looking for somebody that's gonna be a takeoff on Nathan.
Anyway. They're looking for a takeoff on
they're
Nathan.
They're taking off for a takeoff on Nathan. This is gonna be one of the bigger shout-outs to the Browncoats. Now, of course, I would think maybe somebody possibly like Ben Browder, except... I don't know if they would.
He doesn't
do that.
Really look like Nathan.
No, but he's not supposed to look. But he can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he can.
I just hope that they don't take Bruce Campbell, because he's in too much stuff. But I think having somebody who's kind of like Nathan.
Well, actually, Bruce Campbell would be very good casting, because he totally can pull that role off.
Well, it's a little too close to life.
That's why he can do it.
but I think that if they're looking to get the fandom, the Whedon fandom, and they're going to be writing the coattails.
They need a Whedon
actor. With S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. They need a Whedon actor, or they need, like, I'm thinking Browder because of the Farscape people. Yeah. They're as crazy, if not crazier than Browder.
Unless they get Tudyk on loan from Suburgatory, which could happen.
Now, that was the neat thing. Somebody said, wouldn't it be neat if it was Alan Tudyk? And then he dies at the end.
That'd be awesome.
All right. So let's move on to the shows. First up, let's talk about Doctor Who. Speaking of Ben Browder, nice segue.
Nice tie.
This episode was basically the definition of what I was complaining about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I felt like this is a children's show. Like, there was a moment at the beginning when the Doctor's very much like, oh, I'm going to kill him. And I was like, oh, okay, he's trying to be a little dark. But then it very quickly becomes, this show is for your child.
I liked it. I thought it was adorable. But there is an underlying theme for this year that very few people have picked up on.
What's that?
That the Daleks now no longer know who he is.
Well, I picked up on that.
This Doctor doesn't know who he is. A lot of... I think that this year is going to be what happens if he comes across people who just don't know who he is?
Well, he has been all season.
Well, it's only been 3 episodes. Yeah.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying the point has very much been that he's erasing himself from the universe. Like that, and he's very happy about not being remembered. But the problem with that is, how many battles has he avoided just on his reputation?
Seriously. Think that's going to be the fallacy in it later.
Yeah, because he has actually...
Just by nature of him being him.
Yeah, just by saying, I'm the Doctor, and everybody goes, oh!
And his reputation precedes him.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be... Because the thing is, as much as people are going to forget him, he can't help but be who he is, and then he's going to make a whole new reputation the same. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Donna had said that when he doesn't have a companion, that's when he makes mistakes. That's when he turns really dark. And according to Amy and Rory... that he hasn't been around much in their life. Mm-hmm. And he's been picking up other companions who are enabling him. Yeah. So the question is, will he be dark come the end of this series? Well, I'm speaking British.
Yeah.
Will he be dark, and will it end on a cliffhanger?
Well, that will line up very well for the 13th regeneration is supposed to be evil.
I thought that was the 12 and a half.
12 and a half? What's the 12 and a half?
Now we're starting to talk very old Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about the Valgard.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the episode, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought Ben Browder, for what he did, he was good. However, underuse of an actor.
Yes.
Here they're telling the world, it's Ben. Yeah. And then it was what? It's 15 minutes worth of
that?
Something like that.
Yeah, and then he croaks.
But he died very well, because that's what he does. At least he brought that.
Peter, what did you think?
Yeah, I would say these last two episodes very much reminded me, like Livia said, the dinosaur wants spaceship in this one, that it's kind of a kid's show. I also agree Ben Browder was barely used. I didn't really have too much feeling for it. The only thing that got me excited was, you know how at the end of Doctor Who they always go, next time. Next week's episode looks pretty good. You know, I was like, all right. You know, like, but, yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah, it was all right. You know, so.
So you're not quitting. You're not quitting your Doctor yet.
Well, no. I still like the characters. I just didn't, just didn't do anything for me.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
I just, especially considering the build-up, and I'm a big Farscape person, mm-hmm. and I like Ben Browder, but man, he was the most interesting thing about the episode, and when they got rid of him so early, I was kind of like bored.
Yeah, I can see that.
And really the kitty tone.
It was, yeah.
And the fact that Amy Pond had to save his soul yet again.
It's also up to a point, because we were still talking Holocaust. And so there was an underlying theme on this about Holocaust and about somebody who could try to make himself better,
right.
realizes his evil, but also realizes he can't fix his evil. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a little uneven in that. It didn't know if it was a children's
yes,
show or if it was possibly a teenager show to try to explain certain things, especially what's going on in Europe.
Well, I don't know about that, but I really did think that the theme was mixed. The beginning very much felt adult. Like the beginning of it, when the doctor basically condemns this guy for his crimes and decides to kill him, that felt very adult. But then, very quickly, it became something else. So, mm-hmm. yeah. All right, let's move on. Next up, let's talk about Boardwalk Empire.
Ooh.
And this was the premiere of season 3. And it's basically, I'm not sure how much time has gone by.
It seems like they've jumped about a year and a half.
Maybe. I know it was at least a year. Well, that kid is now like 4. And I was like, wasn't he a baby? But I think that's Hollywood.
I would say at least a year and a half.
Yeah, I think it was baby. It's Hollywood growing of children. But it was basically trying to establish where everybody is now, what the world looks like. So it was very much like reestablishing everything, but you basically can see the writing on the wall for certain characters already, which is the, I don't know that guy's name, but the guy who had the flat tire.
Oh my gosh.
when he kills this guy for literally
getting lippy with him.
Yeah. The guy made a joke and he was like, are you calling me stupid? He was like, no, I was just making a joke. And he beats him to death with a tire iron. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like...
And steals his dog.
And renames it.
And gives it away as a gift.
Well, I think... though I think there was maliciousness in the way he gave that dog. There was something going on with that.
Yeah.
But I thought that, okay, they've established who this guy is. And obviously, Nookie's going to have to kill him. Like,
yeah,
that's
kind of volley.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I was like, okay, and Nookie will be killing you before the end of this season.
But why would he kill him? I mean, he didn't kill the other guy, the Jewish guy, for murdering...
No. I'm not saying just for that. I'm saying that he's going to give Nookie problems.
Yeah.
Because they had a big meeting.
Because he has serious envy issues.
Yeah, he has serious issues. They had this big meeting during Nookie's New Year's Eve party, and Nookie basically told the guy, I'm done doing business with you. I've decided to simplify my life. And this guy took it as an insult. And he's like, I'm not insulting you. I'm just telling you I've decided to change how I'm doing my business. And this guy took it really, really personally. And Nookie was like, he just thought, everybody at the table looked at him strange, like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, oh, Nookie's going to have to kill this guy.
So this guy is the Joe Pesci.
This is like a Joe Pesci character, played by Bobby Cannavale.
Okay.
Joe Pesci from...
Anything.
But Goodfellas mostly.
Okay.
Do I abuse you?
I thought the... Do you watch the show, Cece?
No, go ahead.
Oh, the status of Margaret and Nookie. Ooh.
That was interesting.
Which you knew...
There was
going to
be tension.
She gave away that land to the church,
just
knew...
Yeah, that was going to be problems.
It's like...
Well, I'm surprised that he basically has only verbally let out his anger, apparently. He is...
Well, and he's sleeping around.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't sleep around while he was with her.
Before. Now he's totally got a new mistress chick or whatever, who I'm just like, man.
I fear for the driver dude who has the doe eyes for her.
Well, she's already slept with him, though.
I know, but she'd said this isn't going to happen again.
Right, and he's at the party. I was like, dude, if anybody is watching the two of you, they can figure out that you want to sleep with the you know, his wife. So
that you may have already.
Yeah, and as much as Nookie might be mad at her and sleeping around, that doesn't mean he wants somebody else sleeping with her.
No. I mean,
you know, that's his whole punishment for her is basically like, I'm no longer going to be in your bed because I'm mad at you. That doesn't mean that she gets to sleep with other people. So I see that. Yeah, he's dead. But that's also the problem because he's basically Nookie's bodyguard. So that
you can find other bodyguards.
No. I'm just saying the problem with that is if somebody threatens Nookie, he has counter motives of maybe wanting Nookie dead because he wants Nookie's wife.
Mm.
You know, so I was like, ooh, you really need to find out that this guy is sleeping with your wife. So I predict his death as well. So I was basically doing my death pool watching this episode.
The scene with Margaret and her grandson that she is basically raising as her son.
That is so creepy.
Oh, it's so creepy. And Richard, I like Richard. That is Angelica Houston's nephew, I believe. He's
I just like him because he has a certain, he's kind of a little bit crazy, but he's got this vulnerability to him that I really, really like.
He's got war crazy.
Yeah, he does.
It's definitely extreme PTSD.
Yeah, he does, but I like that about him. but the thing that's this creepy about the grandmother telling her grandson that she's actually his mother and won't let him remember his real mother.
Well, I was expecting that to happen. I mean, I still remember the comment about her son. You know, he's so sweet. You know, I used to kiss his pee-pee. Oh my God!
Yeah, but
you have now bypassed a Jewish and an Italian mother's... Crazy.
When they showed the precise nature of their relationship.
Yeah. You knew there was a problem. But that's why I'm scared for this child.
Absolutely.
And you should be.
Right.
And Richard is.
And Richard is, and Richard sees him. I don't think Richard knew exactly what went on.
Richard didn't know exactly what was going on, but he knew something was wrong. And he had the hots for...
the wife. So he's really mad that the grandmother's making the son forget his mother. So he's mad about that. But he's definitely staying around to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually the main caregiver. It's strange. He's the main caregiver for this kid.
Yeah.
Because she's always off doing other stuff. But anyway.
Yeah. Managing her brothel.
Yeah.
And lastly, Nelson. The ex-FBI. Not FBI.
He was FBI.
Was it FBI?
Yeah.
He was a key man.
Yeah. Because I was listening. He's... I'm not going to bring up any spoilers. But I was listening to an interview with him on NPR. And it sounds like this year, it's really going to be interesting where he's concerned.
Well, they basically set it up very well because he's basically a door-to-door salesman and he hates his life. He hates what he's doing. And for like 5 seconds, he got to be intimidating in a pretend kind of setup. So I think he's going to be a criminal. Well, like, I think that's what they pretty much setting him up.
We're not sure, but they put him in Cicero, and Cicero's where Capone ends up in historically. So.
Right. So they basically, for like 5 seconds, he pretended to be somebody's like bodyguard because he happened to walk in on a situation. This dude was like, Bobby.
Well, it was Capone.
He was like, Bobby, thanks for showing up. And he's like, okay. And so he totally just pretended to be like that, and he got a really big reward for it.
Yeah, he did.
So I totally see him because he's not a salesman. Well, he sucks at that.
He does, but he also can't go back. He can't go out into the world.
Right, so
because he's on the wanted list.
He's a fugitive.
Right. Well, and that's it. So the best course for him now is it's logical that he moves into this where he can actually make money. He's good at it. And
he knows how to work the system because he knows what the system is.
Right. Yep. So, yeah, he's perfect. So I think that's definitely where he's going.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this season very, very much.
I am too.
All right, wrapping that up. Next up, we're talking about major crimes. And I never remember what the case is necessarily, but that's what happens with all these kind of procedural crime shows. I still don't remember. Do you remember?
This isn't the fitness guy who gets murdered.
No, that was a while ago.
That was the week before. It was okay. But
I liked the relationship with the kid that the Rusty. I really like that. What are you sighing about? I really like Rusty.
I didn't sigh. I went. Ugh.
Yeah. My point is.
Oh, it's the one where the new black woman almost gets beat to death.
Oh, that was good.
By
I don't like her, but still, it makes you. It does make you feel like, oh, that kind of sucks that you got beaten unconscious.
Basically, the college football kid is murdered,
right? What's great
it
about
might be
that,
gang related because his brother's in the gang,
right? What's great is when they tell the gang member that his brother's dead because they have to kind of notify him and see if he has any enemies. But then when they realize he's gonna get.
Retaliation.
They just lock him up because he violated his parole. And he was like, I violated my parole because you told me to come down here. They're like, whatever. And so they keep him locked up until they can use him to lead them to the actual killer. And that was really a good tense moment. I really liked all of that. Actually, I liked the case this week.
I thought the case was pretty good. I also liked, I can't think of the name, I liked that... Mary McDonald stood up to the deputy chief.
Oh, Commander Taylor.
She stood up to Taylor because he was being a weenie.
He was.
And she was like, no, we followed protocol. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. If you've got a problem with that, fire me.
Right.
Well, the problem is that when she was supposed to come over, she was supposed to get not just an be the person running the department. She was supposed to get the title.
Right, and she
didn't. And now they've blown her off and said, well, what are you going to do? You're too old. You know, you want to quit? You want to quit? They're pulling the same crap on her as they were on Provenza. So what he's doing is he actually, I think he wants to get rid of both of them.
I think Provenza is starting to warm to her.
Right.
And I hope that they form, like, a strategic alliance. You know? We don't get along, and we're not going to be besties, but we don't have to work at cross purposes.
Right. And I like that they are starting to work together. And I think that they've now gotten it down to where nobody, they didn't plead anybody out.
Thank you.
So they basically went out there after their criminal. They got their criminal. They got the evidence. They put the guy away. Done. Done and done.
I'm with Marcia about, well, we talked about this before with Raider and Rusty. I like the actor. I don't mind the concept of what they're doing. I do mind the execution because it's basically the, like a sixth toe. You don't need six toes. I mean, you think you need five toes, but they're having to shoehorn them into episodes. And it doesn't fit, and it's just a drag.
I disagree. I really enjoy their time together, and it shows a different side of Mary McDonnell's character that we don't normally get to see, and I like that side of her.
Although I did like that he was being extra good to make sure that she wasn't going to ship him off.
Right.
That was kind of interesting. I mean, they need to find an organic way to make him part of the family instead.
Well, I mean, I think that this kind of did it too, because he had to make a choice between trying to look for his biological father and staying with her. And he's like, he's kind of made a life for himself now, and he likes it. And he was like, if you don't mind me staying, I want to stay. And so they came to that agreement. I think that that's kind of...
The thing is that you're looking at a nerd. He's already talking about the chess team. He's fitting in school. He's a nerd.
Yeah, but he was an undercover nerd for a really long time. Because he had to protect himself.
He had to protect himself, and he already knows that his mother, you know, what she's turned into.
She's a flake.
And when you are in foster care, it scares the hell out of you if you're on the streets.
Yeah.
As a teenager, I guess part of my issue is, I think he's coming around too fast.
Hmm.
I think the fact that he
beat up those kids that were picking
up. Yeah, that was awesome. But all right, let's wrap that one up. Next up, let's talk about Warehouse 13.
Okay.
You're like, okay.
Can anybody remember what the episode was?
Yeah, I do.
Yes,
this
it was the
one,
rusting.
The rusting episode, and also
Jinx goes home
and has a really heartfelt moment with his mom.
Yeah, I know. He cried.
He was crying.
He cried.
I like the actress playing his mom. She's really good.
Yeah.
And basically they got him off the
metronome.
So now he is his own person.
Yes.
And we found out more about his backstory, and his sister looks creepily like
Claudia.
It's
really
creepy.
We kind of figured that.
Well, he kept saying, "You remind me of my sister. You remind me of my sister." And then you see a picture of
the
sister. You're like, "Oh,
like oh, she really does." Yeah, and I think what was funny about this one that bothered me more than usual is when you find out so Micah and Pete find out who it is that's
Doing
the
rush.
Whole thing, who has the artifact, which
is
in a
his
cool
chest.
Twist is actually in his chest. I thought that was kind of that was different. It's
right.
Like they can't get the artifact out, or at least not in time.
So they squirt
so
the goo into
they
his
put
chest.
The goo, and I'm like, good thing that it's not toxic or will kill him.
Yeah.
God, you know, so they gooed him on the inside. So that's it. But when he was in that last scene when he was fighting with Pete, what was bothering me is, here's this guy, he's like pummeling on Pete, just beating him up with his like cyber arm from the artifact.
Right.
Getting Pete, and then as soon as he would pull away, he'd be like, "Why is this happening to me? What's happening? I don't understand." And Pete tries to explain it to him, and he starts pummeling him again. It's like it happened like five times. I'm like, "Well, if you stopped pummeling him, he would explain to you what's going on." Finally, he pretty much knocks Pete out practically, and that's when Micah, does the whole thing with the injection. But that bothered me. I'm like, "Dude, if you just stop already, he'll explain to you. Just stop hitting him." But then, they pulled the thing about, he's, kind of the war hero and everything.
Has McClintock put on a contract, added to his contract that he must be
shirtless
in as
episode?
Many episodes as possible?
Well, when they did the D&D themed episode, they had, the Avatar thing. He had to work out to get in shape for that. And I guess they figured, Give Levius a man cannon.
Well, no, but the thing about him is he's mostly in shape.
Exactly.
He's not He's not as in
shape. He's no white collar boxing shape.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, when he takes his shirt off, I was like, you can put it back on.
Yeah, you know what? I thought the same thing. I was like, especially considering who he was fighting with in that ring.
Yeah,
all
that
those
dude.
Guys,
yeah,
all
those
of the guys who worked at the mill, like, they were
all
in
super cut. And then you have him, you're just like, put a shirt on.
Nice
try. And so next week he's shirtless again. And I was like, really, dude?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
So
and then so that there was that part of it, and then the other story was Jinx going home, and it's true. I mean, it was nice to get that background of him and his sister and his mom.
Oh, but we're forgetting Artie.
Well, no, we're not.
We're just not. We don't want to talk about the Artie storyline.
Well, really, there wasn't a whole lot to it other than what HG and Mrs. Fredericks are like in on it now. So
yeah, I just like the fact that and they've taken what is that thing called, the time travel-y thing?
Yeah.
They've taken it away from him, from Artie, without him knowing it, because they're like, it's better if he doesn't know. And I was like, that's going to cause a problem.
I almost said Time Turner, but that's the wrong franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I figure that's going to be a problem, because I was like, I actually thought about what's funny, is they give the time travel device to H.G. Wells.
I know.
And they're like, we know you'll keep it safe. I was like, or she'll go insane and use the time travel. Like, I mean, I like her now, and I think of her as a hero kind of character now.
Oh, she
is.
Yeah,
she's
she
proven
is.
Herself.
She is.
But seriously, talking about giving a case of alcohol to an alcoholic and be like, yeah, keep that safe for us.
Yeah.
Like, what? But, the Artie part was like, meh, but I did like the fact that we had Miss... Anytime you have Miss Fredericks, I'm usually happy.
Yeah.
And anytime you have HG, I'm usually happy. So I was fine.
Yeah.
All right. So wrapping that up, thumbs
sideways
stuff. Better than last week.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
That's true.
Anything would be better than
that. Yeah. So we have that. All right. Next up, Tom gets to talk about the Mob Doctor.
It won't take long. Ludicrous premise. Half kind of decent cast, but it's just such a dumb concept. I don't know what to say, but Zeljko Ivanek, who's I think he won the Best Supporting Emmy a couple years ago from Damages, and then Michael Rapaport, who's been in a bunch of stuff, is in it. So, and some other people you've seen in other stuff, but it's just such a stupid concept. It's like,
so it's basically this girl that goes to law school on the dime of the mob or something.
Well, no, her brother gets in hock to the mob.
Oh, okay, so she
and so. She's supposed to kill somebody, and then when she doesn't, they go to her. You know, Rapaport is the mob, one of the mobsters. He goes to her house and kills. It was just so silly and stupid. I'm like, really? They reran it last night, which is how I happened to watch it. Mm. And I'm like,
well,
really?
It's probably only going to get another episode, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, how does stuff like this get made?
I know.
That's what I want to know.
I have no idea, because somebody's like, see, I'm going to do this Mob Star. I'm going to connect. I was like, it's like Grey's Anatomy meets Sopranos. I'm sure that's what they said.
Seriously?
I'm just saying, that's how they pitched it.
But, it's kind of interesting that this is one of two extremely lame medical shows this year.
I like Emily Owens.
You liked it?
Yeah, I watched the pilot.
You're like the only one.
I know, but I thought it was cute. I thought the moment...
Wait, which was cute?
Emily Owens.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. For a moment there, I missed that, and I thought you meant Mob Doctor.
No. I thought Emily Owens was actually cute because...
It's Felicity as a doctor.
Well, I didn't like Felicity. But what I did, like, the moment where she's, like, the whole episode, she's egging herself on to tell this guy that she likes him. And she's like, you know, you don't live forever. You got to take a chance. And you just hear it. She's, like, going over and over in her head. And so there's this moment where she finally actually gets the guts to tell the guy that she likes him. But then she tells him, like, she goes into, like, this poetry. It just goes, like, way out here when she's giving her confession. And you realize halfway through, oh, he doesn't like her. Like, because you see his reaction, and I was like, oh, that's not good. Mm-hmm. And so she finishes her whole soliloquy, and she's almost crying and telling him she's so happy that she finally told him. And he's just like,
whatever.
No, he's not mean to her because they're friends.
Okay.
Like, they're best friends. So he's not going to be a complete jerk about it. But he still has to tell her that he doesn't like her that way. And so he kind of fumbles, but he's like, we're best friends, and he tries to say it, and she has this dawning horror. Like, that felt like a really good, real moment. And so, yes, I liked it. I liked the pilot.
Zach Guilford from Friday Night Lights is in Mob Doctor, and I'm like, seriously? I mean, I'm glad he's acting, but man,
good,
get a good show.
All right, so Next up, let's talk about the new episode of Go On.
Which one was this one? I watched all three at once.
Peter, speak first. You haven't spoken.
I thought Go On was okay. I have liked the pilot the best still, yeah. But I'm still definitely in for the show. I like him. Actually, you know what I liked in this episode? I liked, is his name John Cho? His boss.
Yes. Yeah, he was all like, I'm going to show you my feet. I'm going to be there for you and be supportive.
Right, that was pretty good. And I liked the idea of I liked the gardener. Okay. And like him, yes, making that whole thing, because yes, yeah, he finally tells him that his wife had passed away, and yeah. So actually I thought it ended well. Yeah. You know what I would say? The pilot's still the strongest. This was better than the second episode. I think second episode is the weakest, but I mean I'm still in for the show.
I think what you touched on right there was his boss or his best friend being jealous that he's made all these friends in his sessions, and he feels like he has to reestablish his position as the best friend. And so he does all these things that are hilarious.
Who plays the best friend?
Cho.
John Cho.
Okay.
Yeah. And he does it. He's really funny because he's so perfect in that role as the best friend because of the way they play Ryan as a character. So you can see them as best friends, but as they kind of make it clear, he has no idea how to deal with Ryan's grief and all of that.
Right.
Know, that
and he's never tried to. Yeah, he's the
like,
whole time.
It's like, you know, even as bros, you know, it's like he still doesn't know
so
how to deal with it.
The most awesome thing is they're at a restaurant and they're talking and he keeps holding his hand. And he keeps holding his hand and he's like, I'm there for you. I'll do whatever you need because I'm your friend and I whatever. And then the waiter or whatever comes by and is like, can I get you guys anything? Well, and he's like, stay. Just have other people go.
We're ordering two of everything. And someone else is going to get the order. You're going to stay here.
Yeah, but so we don't have the whole hand.
It's awkward enough when they're at that table talking and you're just laughing. And then they cut that scene or they shot that scene so that you're over Ryan's shoulder and you don't see John Cho. And Ryan says, you're doing something weird with your hand. And then they cut to the scene. And you're like, oh, man.
Okay, I want to check out this show.
You know, it's pretty good.
I wasn't against it, but...
You know, the thing that's great about it, and this to me, which is why I'm like, oh, you know, it sounds like good and I'll watch it. What I really like about it, which I think, Peter, I agree, was like expertly executed in the first episode for sure, is that they don't waste time on their beats. Like, it's just so nice that they hit the mark, they get it, and then they go on. They get to the next one, boom. And you just have enough time to, like, register that and just go, and then they go to the next thing. They don't sit there, and so many sitcoms try and soak it a little bit. You know, yeah, and you're just like, go. It was funny, but now it's not.
All right. Are you saying that there's no laugh track?
No, I don't think there is.
No.
What's
really great, because you're talking about the guy setting up that big fountain in the backyard. Mm-hmm. What was great is it starts off with him saying, you know, he's trying to sneak out of his house because he doesn't want to face the gardener. And they're like, why don't you want to face the gardener? He's like, well, because I don't want to tell him that my wife's dead because that makes stuff awkward. And everybody's like, well, you should tell him. Because it's been like 6 months or something, months. And he hasn't told the gardener's always asking about the wife,
and
giving her
presents and
fruit
stuff and all
for the
stuff.
Wife, and they have the language barrier thing. Yeah. So he's finally trying to tell his gardener that his wife is dead, and he's like fumbling around, and then he just goes, muerte, muerte, and his and the gardener's face just falls. Aww. And then he just looks at him, and then the next thing you know, they're building this thing in the backyard, and he's like, you're building this to move it elsewhere,
yeah,
right?
Like, this is going somewhere else, right? It's this big, huge, this Spanish kind of fountain. And then did you see at the end when it's completed, there's like the Virgin Mary on top with the fountain and the waters and the petals, and there's a little image of like the gardener holding up the Mary. Like, the elements of detail in that thing was great. But that was funny, is even though it was really like really kind of gaudy in the day when he first sees
but at
that
night,
last scene when everyone's
it was,
there
it
in the
was
backyard
beautiful.
And the guitar and everything, it was like, oh, that's kind of sweet.
It was really, and so he's like, oh. And then this was also the one where everyone came over his house at exactly the time.
Aww.
Because he says that his wife would used to
123
at 123 she'd wake up and roll over and hit him and wake him up, and so now he wakes up automatically
to catch it.
like as a defense.
I like when John Cho's like, you know, 123, and then one of the other women in the group is like, it's actually 128, so.
Yeah.
5 minutes earlier, or something like that.
Yeah, it's like you're late. Because everyone showed up at his house at, like, 1:23 to, like, be there for him, because they knew he was going to be
awake. Yeah.
Then Cho showed up 5 minutes later, and the rest of the group was like, yeah,
like,
you're late.
Yeah, like, we had 5 more minutes of bonding, or whatever that is.
So all of that was really good. I really did enjoy that episode. So thumbs up.
Yeah.
All right, next up, let's talk about The New Normal and whoever else is still watching that.
I watched 5 minutes of last week's episode and then sent an irate text message to Libya. Not angry at Libya, but like, the joke was so odious. The alleged joke was so odious. I'm like, Ryan Murphy, die.
Wow. Peter, how was this week?
This week was not as offensive, but I mean, like, it wasn't as funny, because I really thought last week's episode, I thought that girl doing Little Edie from Great Gardens, I really genuinely thought that was pretty funny. I thought that girl's great, and I thought that was funny. This week, it was probably a better episode, I guess. It was dealing with what Ryan Murphy's usually a little better at, like, they're at a department store, and this homophobic guy kind of confronts them, and actually, that was handled okay. I was kind of like, all right, I don't know. I don't hate the show as much as a lot of other people, but it just doesn't really do much for me either, except the little girl. I do like the little girl, so.
Marcia had a comment.
Well, my comment is, there's this fantastic web series called Husbands, which is everything that this show isn't. Tasteful, funny, accurate, funny.
Funny.
Enjoyable.
Because I will have funny. To say, I watched season one of Husbands and I laughed hysterically. I thought it was really, like, the first episode alone, I was like on the floor. It was really funny.
Have you seen
I haven't watched the second season yet. I'm waiting for it to finish. So then I can watch it all, because it's really short. They're really short.
No. Second season, what they've done is, instead of having 10 2-minute episodes, mm-hmm. they've now done 3 10-minute episodes or 8-minute cool. episodes. And they're hysterical, especially since the first episode of season 2 is very heavy Whedon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yay. The Whedonverse. It's hysterical.
Especially you have, since he's actually...
Yeah. No spoilers. you have to, when you watch the episode, you have to watch the background. You have to watch what's on the table. You have to watch everything. But the thing about Husbands is, here they were able to put together a really smart, quality show with very little money. Mm-hmm. And you've got a studio that made a show that they probably paid people a hell of a lot of money for.
Mm-hmm. And it's not funny.
It's not. It's offensive.
It's offensive.
Yeah, I think that's my thing is, I've watched comedies all the time. I've never actually been offended by the comedy. And think about where I work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Like, I literally turned it off. I got to, like, a joke and I was like, not only is that not funny, I am now currently offended. And then I hit stop.
Mad. I'm like...
that's what I'm saying.
Fatois against Ryan Murphy.
It was pretty offensive. And I was like, are you aware of how offensive that is to black people? Like, really? Are you sure you're aware of that? Like, it was pretty bad.
But it was offensive to everybody, you know? And there's one thing to say equal opportunity make fun of. You know, you look back on the Don Rickles and All in the Family and all of these things that were out there, but they were to make fun of, to be nasty, to show how stupid it really was. They think they're funny.
I know.
This show thinks they're geniuses. This show needs to be taken off the air and replaced with something that Jane Espenson and
Brad... Well, the thing is, Brad other has. People think it needs to be taken off the air, but not we're not saying it's for the same reasons. Let's be clear.
It's not quality.
Yes, there we go. All right, next up. I think this is probably going to be the last week we talk about New Normal, because I don't like this much negative in my podcast. Yeah. All right.
There are better things to watch with your time, really.
Seriously.
Yeah. And I'll leave it with this. And also the neat thing about Husbands is you get to see... Well, never mind.
You get to see a lot of people, basically.
A lot of good quality cameo
people and lots of people.
All right. Next up, let's talk about the summer finale. It's a summer finale of White Collar, because it comes back in January.
White Collar.
Doesn't everything come back in January?
I know. Yes. It's like this. Everything
suits.
Now. Yes, exactly. That's what I'm excited for.
I know.
All right. So, what'd you guys think? White Collar finale.
Well, you know what? How funny is this? I felt it was a letdown just because of the build from the episode before, the penultimate, where, you know, you get this idea where it's just there's going to be this nice rift and it's going to hopefully... you know, carry us in and maybe change a little bit of this episode.
You knew that wasn't going to really happen.
Well, but I thought they would at least hold out until, half the episode was over.
The riff translates as Neil's tantrum continues.
Neil gives him the cold shoulder for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, because the thing is, it was a temper tantrum. And you know it was a temper tantrum. It wasn't a real fight between friends. It was a, I'm really mad, so I'm going to be give yeah. you the silent treatment.
Right.
So,
I'm going to buy my own coffee.
I know. Yes. That was pretty funny, I have to say, because the way they handled that, it's like, he's like, and the fact that in that opening scene, you get, you know, Peter trying to clean the whole thing, and he keeps looking up in the window, like, maybe Neil's watching me, like, he'll see me cleaning the coffee maker.
Yeah.
And he gets up there all proud, and Neil's like, yeah, great for you. No, no coffee for me, I'm cutting back. And then, yeah, they show up at the FBI, the forum.
And he's
like,
got a coffee.
He's like, I thought you were cutting back. He's like, well, I passed this great little place I couldn't resist. So, yeah, you get that idea of, like, he's, like, still, you know, like, the
yeah, but I mean, but that's very childish.
It is. So,
yeah, so I'm not mad that they got rid of that. That's okay. But I did like, when they're giving the presentation, I like yeah. the tension in their conversation. I thought that was interesting.
Which is true, but what bothered me about that is, and it was because I watched it again. I only watched it twice, not five times like the last time. The shirtless boxing.
Twice?
Only twice. No shirts off this time. So what bothered me about that is, okay, they did this. They wanted to play that tension in the first half, conveniently, of that you know, presentation that they were
right.
doing. Which, of course, did a nice bookend closure when they finished it, you know, and there's
right.
that trust thing. But what bothered me is they did their first case together, the Dutchmen, and then they chose to have Neil go on about, oh, see, it was really funny when we did, like, this thing in this church with the
priest.
And I'm like, really, that's what you focus on? And everyone else like, oh, I'm like,
That seemed like a very weird, obscure
yes,
case detail.
Exactly, for them
but
to
that,
supposedly
but
show some
but
sort
that
of
was,
conflict.
But that was kind of the point. That was the entire point of it, was the fact that the case itself was actually a really good case that they had together, but he said this really small detail in order to embarrass
But
Peter.
It wasn't
but
really
it was,
embarrassing for Peter because he had nothing to do with it. You know, it was Neil kind of going and
I just thought that whole
that.
Little... I thought that
yep.
it wasn't as clever or funny as Neil, the character, or the writers thought it was.
I agree.
I just thought it was, seriously, that's the most interesting thing you can do?
To embarrass... Yeah, exactly. If you're going to try and make Peter uncomfortable, I think they could have done a better job
there are so many other things
to do
that. Peter do.
Exactly. Like, massage hands with the doctors, you know, that one. So there was a lot that they could have done, and so that bothered me. But I do like the fact that they did the presentation so that they could do the closure with it in the end.
Well, also, I thought one of the cool moments of the episode when basically Peter and Neil basically says, why did you make this deal with me? Which
yeah.
called back the pilot, and Peter said, because
I like you.
I realized you're in it for the challenge, as am I. That we're they're kindred spirits.
Right.
And,
yeah.
you know.
And after
and
all
it,
the postcards
and
the
he was
phone
like,
calls.
He was just like, dude,
yes.
I just like you.
He's like,
yeah.
yeah.
And it was
yeah.
like, that's it. And then Peter felt like, or Neil felt like an idiot or a jerk for being.
Which he should have.
For being such a child for the whole thing.
Which he was.
Yes.
Well, then we get to actually the story, which is the fact that Peter finds out that Sam himself is actually dead. You know,
yes.
the real
thing. But, you know, as soon as the only problem I have was because you put this in my head, as soon as they got the blood off the handkerchief, I was like, oh, he's going to be Neil's dad. Like, as soon as they got the blood.
We told you.
I know.
You were in denial.
I didn't.
He's not good enough to be Mike Caffrey's dad.
But here's the thing, and this could be interesting. It could be a total white herring or whatever. Red herring, sorry.
DNA
but,
test is a white herring?
Yeah. No. Jeff, Eaton actually did some interviews afterwards, some discussions afterward, at Easton, sorry, and he said that you know, that there's, he's like, well, how do we know for sure that blood is Sam's? Because when they came in, he had already been beat up, the guy was in the kitchen area, so the idea is perhaps maybe even that was faked, you know, so because
Sam's
well,
where would
good,
he get his father's blood to fake on his face?
Well, we don't know. He's said before that he doesn't know where his father is, and maybe Sam could help him
find it. And of course he thought, oh, he's going to take a sample of my blood and taste test it. Like, no, whatever. He's screwing with you.
You know what?
I am your
father. Yes. So, but I don't know. I'm like, I would like to think that there was some hope that this wasn't as obvious as it was to most of us from 20
the get-go.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was obvious, which is why I thought it wasn't true. So, and then it was, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
So
but
that was a little disappointing.
But then there was that little action scene kind of near the end where, of course, we all knew Neil was wearing the vest. You know,
of course.
When he was fighting.
Since it was a plot point.
Of course.
Yeah, it's like, it was hey, this vest stops bullets.
Yes.
Let me go stop a bullet. And I was like, how did you know he wasn't going to shoot you
somewhere
else?
Like your leg or your head.
Because it's TV. They always shoot
USA.
You on the chest.
It's USA Network.
And I did like the fact that he was like, oh, did it feel like a warm hug? He's like, well, more like a bear hug. I thought that was pretty
yeah.
good. So thumbs up.
It was thumbs up. Yeah. 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 And now I'm not. I know it's supposed to be like a cliffhanger, you know. For the, I'm like, no, this is fine. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is no cliffhanger for me to the next season. So I'm good.
Well, we're good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Glee. Peter, you are a Glee expert.
Well, it's funny because we just had this huge Ryan Murphy bash, but I actually thought, you know, I like Ryan. I've never seen Nip Tuck, but I really like American Horror Story, and there are aspects about Glee that I really like, and then there's other aspects about Glee I don't, where I'm just like, ah, it's kind of dumb, you know? Like, so I don't hate him the way Tom, like, seems to, but... actually, I thought this was a pretty good Glee episode, mostly because it focused on one of my favorite characters, Brittany S. Pierce.
Brittany is funny.
She decides to do like a... You watch most of the episode where they're doing a lot of Britney Spears songs, and like she has this thing where she wants to do a lip syncing, and they're like, well, we, you know, the Glee, we never, you know, New Direction, we don't lip sync. And when she does it, she's doing the song that Britney Spears had the terrible lip sync gaffe on MTV Awards. And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. And I gotta say, props to Britney Spears, because one, I'm assuming her people had to approve that. And the other is that Glee is preceded by the X Factor, which is what Britney Spears is hosting. So mm-hmm. I actually have to say, I'm not a huge Britney Spears fan, but I have to give her credit for having that sense of humor about it. Like, and of course, in this, it wasn't that she was drinking. It was that, like, Britney is eating Cheetos and lip-syncing while, like, she's drinking Orange Fanta. And, I mean, it's pretty funny. It's kind of funny.
So how about the people in New York? Is their story good?
Was we find out that the Kate Hudson character, the dance instructor, had this meltdown on YouTube, or that was on YouTube, and Rachel, being an idiot, like, basically tells her off, is like, you're just jealous, and of course Kate Hudson's like, all right, you're out. Show she somehow gets a second chance, and I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, you can't tell some trained New York teacher, like, you know, you're just a has-been. I'm like, you'd be totally out. But actually, I gotta say, I'm not a huge, again, not a huge Kate Hudson fan, but actually I think she's been not bad on the show. So yeah, better than the premiere. And, you know, I mean, Glee's one of those shows where it really very much is about who they're focusing on. And they're focusing on characters that I like, then I'm kind of like, yeah, funny, you know, like, but if not, I'm like, eh. Yeah.
Marcia apparently thinks it's very boring. She was being very entertaining on this side of the microphone, explaining how boring she thought it was.
No. First off, I didn't say boring. I tried to hang myself.
Yes.
I'm glad you liked the show. When listening to somebody really into a show, even though a lot of people don't like it, it lets me see how I look when I talk to people about certain things. And I understand why they get that look on their face and they back away from me. I'm just amazed that you are so enthused about the show. Because I used to like it.
Me too, yeah.
And I'm just...
Wait, I'm not saying it's like should win any Emmys or anything. I'm just saying I'm still entertained. It's not Breaking Bad or anything. I mean...
What is?
Let's not go crazy.
Marcia, I'm a very enthusiastic person, so that's probably more me than it is the quality of Glee. I just, when I like something, I get excited about it.
Alright, so wrapping up, Peter gives Glee a thumbs up.
Well, yeah, but it's not Parks and Recreation or anything.
And speaking of which, nice segue. Next up is Parks and Recreation.
Great premiere.
Terrific season.
Tom, why don't you go ahead and talk.
I love the show. I was just recommending it to somebody yesterday. And what a great idea for the season opener to go to DC and do their thing. And I knew from the first joke of the episode, when she says we need to go to the National Mall, it's like, oh, good, I need to buy something.
She said, I need to buy some what?
Doesn't matter.
He says,
the National Mall.
And he says, good, I need to buy something.
I thought you were saying something specific.
It's not her, it's the other guy.
Andy.
Andy, right.
But I just knew it was going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't understand what the National Mall is.
Andy doesn't understand a whole lot.
Okay.
Stuff. But it was a fun episode, and they packed some great cameos in. The funniest cameo being John McCain.
Really?
What?
John McCain. It's great. Leslie has a breakdown, and so she's in the coat closet. And he comes in to see if she's okay. And she never turns around to look at him. And it's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's weird is Peter keeps telling me I need to watch Parks and Rec.
You
right?
do.
And it's on Netflix, so I started watching season one.
No!
Hey!
Season one's before they changed the writers and everything. Season one's okay.
I'm glad to know
season
that.
Two, when I can get into season two on. Is
start,
really
start
good.
With season two.
Just skip? I'm a completist.
I mean, if you feel like putting yourself through that.
Well, I tried and I couldn't make it. I was like, this is boring. This is
apparently
boring.
Apparently, you should watch
this
season two. And then as a completist, you can go back to season one safely
season
knowing
one.
That you like the show.
I mean, season two I've watched multiple times. I've seen all of season two like two or three times. It's
so
really good.
So you're saying I should just skip forward, screw the beginning of the story
it's,
to understand?
What it is it's like season one, they were still trying to basically be another version of The Office.
It's an Office clone
well,
with a female Michael Scott.
Which is why I didn't like it, because I don't like The Office.
And it's weird because format is the same, which is that basically, you know, there's a camera following them.
Right.
But the humor is not like The Office. It's just, it becomes its own thing. Also, I would say the cast, they do some replacements and stuff. The cat, Rob Lowe joins, and it's just a better cast.
I like Rob Lowe. Just as a segue, real quick, for those who don't know, I sent this to Peter, and I'm sure he didn't watch it because he doesn't pay attention. But there is a West Wing reunion video that they did
for voting,
and it's called Walk and Talk for the Vote, and it's they got the entire cast of West Wing back together. It's fantastic. I just smiled for the whole thing because it's like they're all back in character except they have a couple of little inside tongue in cheek jokes like who's this Mary McCormick.
And then they're like, we don't know who she walks in. She goes, I have no idea, but I hear she must be someone like
really sexy
or whatever.
Yeah. That's all pretty good. And so it's if you get a chance, look for it on YouTube, Walk and Talk for the Vote. If you are a West Wing fan, you cannot miss it. And they even do the coat thing. I was so excited. I was like, is he going to put on his coat? And he puts on his coat.
Yeah.
I was very happy. Sorry. I got enthusiastic really quickly. Is that all you guys have for Parks and Rec?
It was just a lot of fun.
I was sad the ratings were down, but it's
too good for NBC.
All right. The last thing I want to do before we end this podcast is I want to plug a show called Strike Back, which is on Cinemax. And it's weird because Cinemax really doesn't have any original programming, so it's like all alone in the night over there.
Unless it's the porn.
I'm saying original programming is in a drama. Don't go there. But Strike Back is based on a British show, actually, because they're in the tradition of stealing British television and putting it on their television. And season one was for the BBC, and then season two and three, though they renumbered. Because I think I talked to a Strike Back exec, and I was like, oh, when's your season three coming out? It's like a season two. And I was like, pretty sure it's not.
What they did is they're marketing it for home video. It says the first Showtime season, or Showtime season one.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Skinamax.
Sorry. Yes.
Cinemax.
Thank you. I understand why people, but I mean, if you think about it, there's less nudity on this show than there is in Game of Thrones. But I really like the show. I like the leads.
Anyone we know in it, though?
Yeah. The lead guy is from...
Philip Winchester.
He's from Fringe, and he's from...
Caruso.
He's from a bunch of other... He had his own series or some other series I can't think of the name of.
Caruso. He was the lead character.
Yes, I did see that, but it only lasted like 10 episodes. But if you've seen Fringe, you've seen him. He was the alternate Olivia's boyfriend.
Before she found out Olivia was cheating with real Peter.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
So he's really good as the lead, and there's two guys, and the other guy I've never seen him before, but he's British playing an American.
Which is weird.
Which is a shame.
Yes, but anyway, I like the show. I like the chemistry between the guys.
The
it's very much bromance. It's basically
Covert Strike Team.
Yeah, it's like the CIA, but the British version of it. And so they're like a special forces team. And they go into missions together, but then there's this whole other conspiracy above them that there's, especially in the first season, they're trying to figure out. Because the main guy from the original show gets killed in the first episode
of the
Cinemax
series.
Cinemax series. So their whole thing on the first season, or second season, whatever, is they're trying to figure out what happened, why did this happen.
Avenge his death.
Well, not necessarily avenge his death, but somebody set him up. And so they're trying to figure that out. Mm. And then this season...
Is it worth finishing season one?
Oh, yeah. I think it ends well. Okay. I like it. I mean, I'm in the next season. I really like the show.
I watched the first couple episodes and just, you know, they're not as good as integrating their gratuitous nudity into the plot.
That is true. Oh. I will have to say that it is weird that anytime you see a pretty woman on the show, she's going to get naked some kind of way.
Okay.
And you're just kind of like, really? Why are they having sex in the middle of this war zone? Like,
but see, that's the problem I had with Femme Fatale. It was a good show. If you took out all the nudity, then it was a nice little 20-minute show. By throwing in the naked women for no reason whatsoever,
it killed everything.
They had really good actors and no names.
Well, I would say, if it makes you feel any better, every time they get a woman naked, they also get a guy naked on this show. So
is it frontal?
Probably not.
Well, it's cinematic. It's close. The only thing is, like I said, I do feel that, like, because they only have one guy that's the one that's always having all the sex. And I'm just like, come on. There was this one scene where he has sex with this woman, and I was like, you don't know what that's been. I do. You don't want that. So, yeah, it does have that aspect to it, but I think that the story itself is really good. So I think you should give it a shot.
Okay.
And that's what a DVR is for.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So that wraps up this week's podcast. This is probably the last one that we're going to do that's going to be under an hour.
Yeah.
Because all the new shows. We're going to be on the timer next week. And it's just going to be insane. We have all our new shows. All our shows back.
Well, it's scary because I'm traveling for work and I got to get all this stuff Friday night and Saturday before the show.
Yes,
when I come back,
have to cram. It's a test.
It really. It's like one Friday night for me. Holy crap!
So, if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, Weedonopolis, and iTunes. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.